watched the Olympics on TV, so I know a thing or two about gymnastics. The women have their their balance beam, the uneven bars, the vault. The men have also have the vault, but they also have the pommel horse and the parallel bars. And then there's everyday gymnastics, like a cartwheel. Can anyone come out front and show me a cartwheel? Okay, don't all rush at once. It's amazing what a gymnast can do. The strength, the flexibility. And it's also amazing what the tongue can do. The flexibility. The up and down, the sideways, the back flips. Amazing what the tongue can do. I like to call it tongue-nastics. Gymnastics, tongue-nastics. I know it's not that great, but anyway, that's what I... you can do a lot with the tongue. You can chew. The tongue, taste buds. You can stick your tongue out. You can lick an ice cream. What else? You can whistle. Some of you will probably be able to curl your tongue out, so you stick your tongue out and curl it up. Some in my family can and I cannot. Mine's just dead flat. Can you do it? Yeah, curl your tongue. Apparently it's genetic. Some can do it, some can't do it. There's a lot you can do. And of course, with the tongue, we can make words. And so James articulates 12 dedicates 12 verses to the tongue, so it must be a very important aspect to the believer's life. See, the tongue is small yet powerful. The right words can lift a friend, inspire a nation. The wrong words can break a friendship right down to harm a child. Someone once said, sticks and stones can break my bones. Yes, they can. But words will never hurt me. That's a lie right there. Words can hurt badly. How many of you have been hurt by words? Don't put your hand up, just think about it. How many of you have been hurt by words? The tongues of venom can bruise. It can ruin reputations. It can haunt you for years. We all know that we can't control the tongue. We all fight with people that we live with. Yeah, there are exceptions, but they don't make the rule. The rule is we all fight with people we live with. We all say things that we wish we hadn't said. You know, nothing reveals the heart more than the words shaped by the tongue. If you're angry, we're going to know about it. If you're bitter, we're going to find out about it sooner or later. If you're a boaster or you brag, it's only a matter of time before you blurt it all out. Nothing reveals a heart more than the words shaped by the tongue. And how do we know that we desperately need a Saviour, Jesus Christ? Just listen to the words that come out of the mouth. That's how we know. The tongue is potent. The tongue is life-changing. One or two wise words from a mentor can guide you, can offer you direction for life. One or two foolish words or careless words can destroy you. It's a little bit like the bit in the horse's mouth, as we read in James, that can turn the whole animal. The right words, you can avoid the obstacle. The wrong words, smack right into the fence. Or it's a little bit like a ship's rudder. You know, the ship's rudder, so small at the base of the ship, that turns... The right words, hello South Pacific Island Paradise. The wrong words, hit the rock. shipwrecked. It can happen. The tongue is a great resource for evangelism. Let me tell you about Jesus, great resource. But the tongue can also start a fire. Now, I'm not talking bushfire, I'm talking relationship fire. The tongue, as you all know, has great potential to burn relationships. Now, we can all think of our examples. I have a wide extended, both sides of the family around the world, and I can think of an extended member of my family who spoke thoughtless words, a few words to another member of my family, and years have passed, they're still not talking. Almost every family can tell that story. It's everywhere. The tongue can burn relationships. The tongue, it can also teach the gospel. Though, as James says, not many of you want to be teachers because you're going to be judged more strictly. For example, people in the church will judge you more strictly if you're a preacher. And of course, God will judge you more strictly. That's the reality. And the tongue, you can make New Year's resolutions, and then in a few days, we break New Year's resolutions. The tongue, you can praise God for your creation. We praise you. And then in the same breath, curse human beings who are made in his likeness. James says all that. Someone once said, words are free. It's how you use them that may cost you. The tongue. Who can tame it? Humans can tame wild animals. We can put them in cages. Birds, budgies, sea creatures, crocodiles, snakes, like snakes behind a glass at a zoo. I was a couple of months ago, a couple of members of the family, we went to Sydney Zoo. They have a great reptile exhibit. Oh, I'm so thankful that all those reptiles, all those snakes are behind the glass, tamed. We can look at it without them jumping out. So we can tame wild animals, okay? But no human being can tame the tongue. Now, somebody might say, well, New Year, let's turn over a new leaf. I'm going to watch what I say. It's not going to happen. You're going to fall. Or other people say, well, just all we need is education. Education can certainly shape the tongue, from accent to what you say, what you know can shape the tongue, but can still cause damage, even with the best of educations. History has proven that. I mean, I don't have to point out the obvious, you know that. But no human being can tame the tongue. If you have a look in your Bibles, if you've got your Bibles open, you see verse 8. James the author, he doesn't say no one can tame the tongue. He says no human being can tame the tongue. He says that because God can tame the tongue. God can do the untamable. He can do the impossible. He can take the deadly poison of the serpent and turn it into comforting words. He can take what is meant for evil and turn it into encouraging words. He can take a filthy mouth filled with profanities and wash out the mouth, clean out the mouth. And many of you have seen this. People become Christians as the years pass. Maybe previously they swore like troopers, but then eventually their language changes. They're not perfect. We're not perfect. But we just seem to not swear as much. God can do that. He can tame the tongue. How's it going?
The taming of the tongue. How are you finding it?
Hard. It is. It is hard. Here's a practical application. We all stumble. James says that, verse 2. His words? We all stumble. The practical application is not, okay, well, we're going to preach a sermon. Here's how to be nice, and here's how to stop being nasty. That is not the practical application. The practical application is we all stumble. Many words, in many ways. Some of you stumbled on the way to church here this morning. Yeah? Didn't we? Some of you thinking, oh, stumble, I stumble every day of the week. For sure. Absolutely, I do as well. Some of you might be thinking, why do I always keep putting my foot in my mouth? Well, I submit to you, a foot in your mouth is not the problem. It's the tongue in the mouth. That is the problem. Or when I met Karen, the first time I met Karen, my wife, I said some stupid things. Even now, I say some stupid things. Don't I, Karen? Yeah, she's nodding. So, thankfully, Karen is so forgiving, so that's great. But yeah, stumbling all the time. We all stumble, but not Jesus. Jesus, fully God, he became fully man, fully like us. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2 says, no deceit was found in his mouth. We all stumble, but Jesus did not stumble at all. In the old days, we used to stumble face to face, but now we are, you know, face to face, but now we are so good at stumbling, we can do it in digital format. How many of you have received an angry email or sent an angry email? We're so good at stumbling, aren't we? Got me thinking, if God made the tongue a bone, not just a muscular organ, but a bone, it would be permanently broken, like wearing a cast, like an arm. That's how often we stumble, permanently broken. Anyone, so Job said, anyone who thinks they're never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. That is, everything we do with our body, everything we do morally, we're perfect. We know nobody's perfect. Same as the tongue. Nobody is perfect. Even James, the author of the book, leader in the church, raised in the household of Jesus, in verse 2, he doesn't say you, he says we. First person plural, we. Him too. If he stumbles, we are always going to stumble. We hope to speak fresh water, we end up spitting salt water. We crave words like figs, but we end up hurling olives like bullets or accusations. That's what we do. Is that your experience? I spend a little bit of time here because I'm hoping you say, yeah, that's my experience. Absolutely. I can't keep the tongue in check. I got angry on the way at church this morning. When I said this, I said that. That's our experience, isn't it? How do you feel about that? I don't know about you, but, you know, when I say dumb things, I feel pretty bad. And we do, we feel bad. There can be an overreaction. You know, we might not say something helpful and then someone points it out and here's our overreaction. What we say is, well, if I can't say anything at all helpful, I won't say anything at all. Don't we say that? I heard it yesterday when I was talking to someone. I'm not going to say anything helpful. I won't say anything at all.
think that's an overreaction. That is the wrong response. God gave us a voice. He gave us a tongue to shape words. He wants us to use our tongue. He wants us to speak. People need to hear your voice. Your voice. People need to hear that. So just be careful not to say that. I think that's the devil trying to trick us into. It's always better to learn to control the tongue than to super glue your lips together. Always better. So when was the last time you stumbled? Here's what you need to know. Here's what we need to know. It's never too late to make a correction. So let's start with people. It's never too late to apologize. Restore a relationship. And the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you became a believer, you believed in Jesus who came to earth, he ministered, he died on the cross, he was resurrected, he sent the Holy Spirit. You're a believer, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to help you to do this very thing, to apologize. He's going to open your eyes. He's going to give you understanding, more understanding of the situation. He's going to give you the courage. Yeah, it can take time. It doesn't happen overnight, but it can take a few years. But he's going to give you the courage, the words. You're going to be able to apologize as a believer with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit definitely helps us to know that it's never too late to make a correction with people. It's a little bit like a ship, as way of example, a ship as a way of illustration. The ship is cruise ship, large. It is driven by strong winds. Can be destined to hit the rocks, but one small correction of the rudder can lead it to safer waters. The same with the tongue, with relationship. It might be, because of what was said, destined for misery, but one small word of apology can last a lifetime, can make all the difference. Maybe God is wanting you to apologize to somebody in your life. You know, but I'm no fool. I know that the world is a broken place. You know, you can apologize and people reject it. That's happened to me heaps. You can be so sincere, called by God, seeking to be reconciled, and it's rejected, and it hurts. I know that. It happens all the time. Or, the world's a broken place. Something might have been said, you seek to restore the relationship, but then the worst happens. That person passes. You can't do it. I know that's a reality. Absolutely. I say never too late to make a correction with people, but there are situations where it seems like it is too late. That's why I say to you, it is never too late with God. Regardless of our situation with people around us, God can give us hope for the future. He can give us forgiveness for what has taken place. Give us a new identity with Jesus that gives us that hope for a better pathway forward, even though it seems like with people there's no chance. Think of Peter in the Bible. Jesus was at the point of death. He's about to be crucified. And Peter denies him three times.
does God do? God shows Peter amazing grace, builds his church on the rock of the apostles' word, Peter. So what's your New Year's resolution? Maybe for some of you it is control the tongue. Here are four things I'd like you, in closing, four things I'd like you to remember. Firstly, you will inevitably stumble. We all do. We don't want to live as Christian believers in a fantasy world thinking that we're going to have complete control of the tongue this side of heaven. We will stumble. We will mess up. We will say unhelpful things. We will throw accusations. As in every room, some of us are super sensitive and we can be particularly hard on ourselves. We say something, we wish we hadn't said that. We can beat ourselves up. We don't want to be tricked into thinking somehow this side of heaven we're going to be perfect. You know, at home, we're going to say things we wish we hadn't said. That's the reality. Yeah, James says we shouldn't, but the reality is we do, don't we? And we often say things to people we love the most, the ones who are closest with us, the ones we live with. So like James, his words, we all stumble. But it's never too late to apologize. To make a correction. So is there someone you need to speak to leading into the new year? All right, thirdly, some of you are saying, well, you know, I would like to get better control of my tongue. Yeah, I would too, don't we all? I'd like to get better control. What can we do? Well, what do we do? With the Spirit's help, we listen to the Bible. We receive the Bible. We hear the Bible. Pay attention to the Bible. We read the Bible. We try and get the Word of God into our system. And the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word into our system, into our thinking. And as the years pass, it does help us. But remember, you're never going to be perfect this side of heaven. But we do make progress. And you've seen that with Christians, haven't you? You've seen it. Observation tells us. So pray. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep listening to the Bible. Keep reading the Bible. Keep getting the Bible into you. And I know myself. I've seen it in others. It helps us to get a better control of the tongue. That's how we do it. It's nothing new under the sun. It's always been like that. It continues to be like that. Ultimately, let's remember that we have Jesus, and that Jesus took all our fumbling words and nailed them to a cross, and so that we can always say that it is never too late with God. We always have forgiveness. We always hope. We can step out into 2024 and know that we're okay, because with God it is never too late, regardless of what we've said, regardless of what someone said against us. Even if they really, really, really hurt us, we are new creations in Christ. We believe in Jesus, who has forgiven us our sins. He has made us new, and as it says in the book of Hebrews, we are in his family. Jesus calls us brothers and sisters. We'll look at that more in camp coming up in a couple of weeks. But we call brothers and sisters. We are with God now and forever. It's all good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray.